Jesus here, make it personal, Jesus, you're here. Heavenly Father, we believe absolutely that that same Spirit that was in human flesh is here at this hour, for we know that Scripture has told us the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. We know that that Spirit, designated as the Spirit of Him, should be in the last day amongst us, revealing unto us those things which we are supposed to know, which will bring us together. We appreciate that. We cannot turn our backs upon it, Lord. We cannot believe for 1 minute that you came and then you went and you will come and you will go. And then you will come and you will go with us. We don't believe that because the same one that taught us that the Lord would descend with a shout, which was a message, also saying which was a messenger to gather the people together, same one said that he comes down, that one, to set himself at the head of the church in order to raise the dead. So we believe, Lord, that that is what is transpiring now. And we know that they with us cannot be made perfect, so therefore something is going on at this particular time where all things are coming in subjection. We believe that, Lord, and we do not know within ourselves that we have any of the earmarks that we can demonstrate to people, but by faith, Lord, we have received this word and stand with it until it becomes finalized, and finalization will mean, Lord, that there will be a resurrection, there will be a catching away, and then there will be a continuation of those things which are set forth in that vein. And so, Father, we stand here this morning in that assurance, and we thank you that we do not change our theme, we do not change the structure of it. We do not change anything except to believe that we're going from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the living God, conforming to the Word, bringing that Word to life in this hour. So, Lord, here we are. Let it be unto us according to Thy Word. To that end we consecrate ourselves. Help us, therefore, in everything said and done. We need Your help. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. You can just cut that for a minute for us. Just cut them. Now, we've been dealing with the Lord's Day, and which is the day of the Master, the day of the Husband, because we find that the word Lord is a word that's translated in a general, across-the-board sense as to mean Master, a one in authority, a husband. We found in the fourth century, A.D., I believe it is, I don't think it's B.C., could be B.C., that the word began taking on a very distinct understanding, so this is what ours would be, of a husband, a legal guardian of a girl, the owner and the possessor, you say, and the governor in his own household. Now, Moses, we know, was a servant in a house which God built. But when it comes to Jesus, you'll find He's the Master. So, looking at this word Master, we found then that it's a general purpose word having to do with the thought mainly then of the legal husband, the legal possessor and governor in the house. And we just let it stay there because we're going into the day of the Lord and we'll be taking that particular facet as time goes on. But in the meantime, we're looking at other aspects of that day of the Lord, and so we can lead up to what we're into on the judge. So we read in Revelation, the first chapter there, verses 10 begin with, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And verse 12, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Now, you'll notice in here that this book is a book of voices. And this voice is a particular voice, because he turned to see who was giving voice, as Brother Branham said, to see if it was a scriptural voice. And remember that you see by hearing. The Bible mentions here, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words. And so that you, when you read, you are literally hearing by way of the eyes. And when you hear, you are literally seeing by way of the ears. And we know that Samuel heard this voice of God speaking to him. And whatever the voice told him, you notice that Samuel said, the scripture says he feared to show Eli the vision. So here was somebody seeing with his ears. Now that's not hard, because you don't see with your eyes and you don't hear with your ears. You have an auditory nerve and an optic nerve. And the auditory nerve goes from the ear and the optic goes from the eye, and you see with your brain. Which if you blotted your eye out, you'd ruin the camera. If you plugged your ears, you'd be not able to hear. But specifically, if you injured a part of your brain, you wouldn't see and you wouldn't hear if you missed it. So really, what we're looking at here then is John is turning in order to receive in his mind and in his spirit, which he is into, a revelation from God. Now, this is perfectly scriptural. Okay, let's go to Numbers, the 12th chapter, and we'll get it. Now, 6th verse, hear this. God said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and speak with him in a dream. Now, there you are. Seeing and speaking comes to a prophet. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in my house, not Moses' house, my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even in view, in a shape. Apparently doesn't simply mean it's apparent, which it does mean it's apparent. But the word apparent means in a shape or in a form, which is apprehendable, so that the one in that particular presence which is the presence of God in a form, pillar, fire, whirlwind, you name it, cloud, rock, whatever, is speaking audibly to the person, and not in dark speeches and similitudes. No, he's going to be speaking very directly, and he'll behold that figure that God presents. And then God will be dealing with that person through the figure that he presents to the prophet. So, you can see that this here is simply very tersely put forward what would of necessity transpire, because this is how God does things. So, John was in the Spirit, and we found that literal translation of that is, or an extended translation, or an enlarged translation could be, I came to be in Spirit to the Lord's day. In other words, he comes to a certain particular area that goes beyond where he is at this moment, and goes beyond to a stretch of time that isn't actually told us as to the number of years. And he comes to the day of the Lord. Now, there he begins to receive revelation at this time wherein the day of the Lord is a judge. Now, you'll notice that he got out of his own spirit. You got to be careful that you don't get your own spirit in the way, because the spirit is a very to seal things. First of all, to begin with, as the child drops from the mother's womb, the child doesn't have a spirit. There's a spirit waiting there to receive that body, which in combination with the soul that evidently the child has, because he was in his father's loins, and he had to get here somehow by natural generation, which he did, a lost sheep. And they're not all lost sheep either. There could be reprobate or anything else. So this child dropping, male or female, receives one of these spirits that Brother Branham said is not from God, but out of God. In other words, is not of God as His Holy Spirit is, but it's a definitive spirit that He created. Now, Brother Branham seems to have definitely associated those spirits with angels, so that there could well be many people possessed by fallen angels, and those who have, you know, a proper angel that didn't fall. Okay, what I'm driving at is this. Because that spirit is on the outside of the soul, and it is not a genuine human spirit per se, as though you were born with it, and soul and spirit works through the flesh, which mostly the spirit works through the flesh because that's like an animus to the flesh. And that spirit in there is one that was out here. You wouldn't have a great deal of trouble of contacting what lies out here. Now, the scripture says, no man knows the things of man save the spirit of man that's in him. So the spirit of man would be able to produce an Edison or a Steinmetz, not the piano, that's a Steinway, Steinmetz, or a Tesla, or almost anything. See? And, or a Russell, world famous under the time of Roosevelt. He could tap the universe. In fact, they call him the man that tapped the universe. But here's where preachers like Glenn Clark get all messed up because they're in unity and in Christian Science. They never get a true rebirth. You see, that would allow them to really know the things of God. Now, Paul said, no man knows the things of God, save the Spirit of God. But he said, because we're born again, we got the Spirit of God, which is now joined to our soul. Our nature then is a changed nature, and our knowledge and understanding will not be in the realm of men, who all men have this type of spirit. But they'll have a genuine Spirit of God that'll keep them with the Word. Now, I hope you're getting what I'm trying to tell you here. John is like every one of us, but he's born again, and he's got an office. Now, John says, I became to be in spirit. Now, he already was in his own spirit. There's no two ways about that. And he's not out here tapping into something out here that can be fallacious. Albeit, could be very scientifically true, and a man learned wonderful secrets, which he might be a benefit in civilization to his brother and sister. But John was in the Holy Spirit. See? Now, let's get this. This is why you and I need a prophet to be 100% in the Word. Because there's no way that you and I can get where John was, where Moses was, where William Branham was, or any prophet was. There is just no way. Now, that's why when people come along and they say, well, you know, Brother Vail, I know Brother Branham was a great man, but I've had something happen here, and you know me and my nature. And for me to be nice at a time like this is way beyond miraculous. It is divinely heavenly. And I'm ready to just rise up and take that guy apart. Because I know he hasn't got anything. Hogwash. Fat. There isn't one of them. Not one who could come near William Branham. Listen, I know the gamut. Don't talk to me. I've been out there. Now, they feel they don't need a prophet. See? They don't need somebody who can become in spirit. See? And listen, when you do, get this flat. Now let's get this flat. And I mean flat, flat, flat. If you're not ready to take it, I'm going to pray for you. You pray for yourself. Because this is tough. A prophet can say nothing of his own will. Can say nothing of his own will. I might get a prophet so mad, he'd like to say to me outside the spirit, leave, I'd like to kill you. And I'd say, fine, because you talked in your spirit. But you get that man in the spirit of God, he is just like Balaam before Balak. And old Balaam looked down and he said, I can tell, he said, it's going to be a cinch, it's going to be a walkover. That is a bunch of riffraff. And the minute his spirit left him, and he was in the spirit of God, he said, I cannot say anything of myself. There's no way I can curse them. They're beautiful. They're wonderful.
Praise God.
Now, a lot of people, you know, they could be like Balaam. But in the spirit, there is no way when you come here, you've got to understand it's definitive. Now, this is definitive. One person said to Brother Branham, John must have had some hot peppers. Well, that's fine if that's the kind of person you are. You'll get your hot peppers, but that's down the road. But you better repent. Because that's blaspheming, literally blaspheming the Word of God. This is a fantastic book. And what John saw was 100% right. He knew what he was saying. He knew what he saw. And it takes a prophet at the end time to open it. And that's Revelation 10 and 7. See? Now, John saw this day of the Lord that we're looking at. Everything here is 100%. There isn't one thing that's off key. There isn't one thing interpolated. There's not one thing left out. That's exactly why he said, you can't add and you can't take. Because he said, I didn't get this of myself. I became in my spirit to the Lord's day. Like Brother Branham said, I get alone. And he said, I take up my parable. See, I went to Brother Branham years ago. And I said, Brother Branham, I said, you know this business of being a prophet? I said, there's something to it that a lot of people don't get. I said, there's something in there that man's got that he knows he's got. and he's able to fill the office. Brother Vail, what do you mean? Well, I said, I'll tell you, take the case of Balaam. I said, that old boy knew exactly what to do. He knew he could swing into it. Oh, he said, certainly, Brother Vail. Didn't you read where he said he took up his parable? Wasn't building altar, did it? Was taking up his parable. He said what people try to, what is this thing they call the mantra? The eeny, meeny, miny, mo stuff? Mantra, mantra, schmantra, who cares? Bunch of hogwash. But a prophet has a real parable, and Brother Branham says, certainly, and I take up mine, but I won't tell you the words I say. Now, look at. He told us, he said, the best he could tell us. I get alone by myself, and I say something like two and two. He said, it suddenly begins breaking in. You're like two and two or four, two and two or four, two and two or four, two and fast, 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 and suddenly you break into it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know much about prophecy. Get this flat. I know prophecy. But I do know enough about visions. And I do know enough about a trance, although I'm not great at trances because I haven't been into a trance. Except with my eyes wide open looking out. Just watching what I was seeing. And I'm going to tell you this, brother, sister. You haven't got any more to do with that than a hog has to circle the globe up there in that space shuttle. Nothing. Nothing. And I'm going to tell you something. It's so far apart from you, it'll scare the living daylights out of you. If you've got living daylights in you. It'll scare you. There's nothing that God ever gives that isn't so serious and very sober. And John was very serious and sober. When he left his own spirit, now I'm not saying he left his spirit, stuck it over there. I'm just saying he got away from the entire influence of his spirit, and he went plumb into trance and vision right out there. And he began looking and hearing. When that voice spoke, the whole thing formed before him, no doubt. And it was a conversational voice. Because God said, I will speak with him. Notice John spoke back and forth. Moses spoke back and forth. Paul spoke back and forth. We know that Paul spoke back and forth because he said, I besought the Lord three times concerning this. And the voice came and spoke to me and said, my grace is sufficient for you. So we know that here we're into a perfectly tremendous portion of Scripture that a prophet of Revelation 10 and 7 says, this is the day of the Lord, and John saw him as judge. So we're looking at it. All right, the day of the Lord. That's what we're looking at to begin with. And we asked the question last Sunday, when did the Lord Jesus ever have his day? Well, we know he never did have his day. According to Isaiah 53:7-8, because it categorically says he was oppressed, he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth, he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers dumb, so opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment, who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Now he was cut off, he never had his day. He died at age 33 and a half, as far as we know. 3.5 years of that is the 70th week, the last week of the 7 years. He was cut off. So, since then, he's been engaged in mediatorial and intercessory ministry. So he's never had his day. See? No way. So that day is going to come. Now, this is man's day. Now, let's go back to Genesis, the 3rd chapter. And verse 22, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and live forever. Now that's not immortality, eternality. That's from the ages to the ages. Now he said, if this man puts forth his hand now, and he had the ability to do it, or it would not be said, he would have lived for the age to the age where God had planned something different. Now, man has been living for 6,000 years, but not one man. There has to be a time when God changes his regimen. Now, he had a flesh and blood man who could sin. A flesh and blood man who, when he sinned, nature would rise against him, so there'd be prickles on the roses. And there would be bared teeth and fangs of animals. There would be poison that could be released by animals, snakes and things, bugs also. Where the man could be tortured and tormented. In fact, the Bible said hell traded for the devil and his angels. Man, some men will go to and they'll be tortured and tormented. That's true. We make no bones about it. Now, man has a period of time that has been allotted him. And that would take in the earthly span before there's a change, and that would take in the future span, which will end in annihilation. You see how it all adds up? Just one little verse tells you everything. Now, man had that ability, and he still got the ability to live on. Now, let's go over here to Revelation 10, and we'll see verses 5 and 6. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea, and upon your lip is heaven, hand heaven, and swear by him lives forever and ever. We create heaven and things that are in the earth, things that are therein are, and the sea and the things that are therein, that time should be no longer. Now he tells you that this one, at the time of the day of the Lord, because that's what John is looking at, way down at the end, when the great one will become a judge, he says, time runs out. Now what time is running out? Time for the 7 church ages. Time for a resurrection. Time for the bride.
to be immortalized. All of these things, in other words, he sees man's time run out. See? Now, it's not the time itself ceases. That goes on for 1,000 years into the white throne until the new Jerusalem comes on earth, which is recreated. It doesn't have the water. Like our earth today is 5/6 water, 1/6 land. The days to come is going to be 6/6. People worry about feeding 4 billion people on 1/6 of the land. What could you feed on 6/6 of the land? If you can feed 4 billion people, you could go ahead and put another 20 billion out there. See, everybody worries. Why worry? Because time's run out. So we see time has run out here. Man's day is about to close. The reason is that Jesus has been promised a day. The great one we're looking at. Now let's go back to Psalms. Now I want you to listen to what I'm saying and put it all together. 6 and 7. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of thy kingdom is a scepter as a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now it tells you that God is going to institute a throne for this certain person. And he will rule as divinely as divinity himself. There will not be an appreciable difference because there will be no difference. Because the great Spirit God will be in him. All right? With that, we go to Psalm 11. No, 110. I didn't think it'd be Psalm 11 as we go backward. 110. I guess is what I want. Beginning the first verse. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Then it says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. And rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Now listen, at the right hand he's got to wait until, he says, the enemies become the footstool. And at the same time he tells you that rod, which is the strength of Zion, is going to rule over the enemies. Which is, he takes over in Revelation 19 with the rod of iron. Revelation 19:11. I saw one, you know, seated upon a white horse, and the armies of heaven followed him. And out of his, he was crowned with many crowns, king to king and lord of lords. And out of his mouth goes the sharp two-edged sword, and so on. Now, watch also, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. In other words, He never gets old. He died at age 33 and he rose up looking like what? 17 years old. There he is. Thou art a priest. The Lord has sworn will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook on the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Now he's telling you right there how he's going to take over his kingdom. He's going to have a day when every enemy is under his feet and set to one side. He will reign in the millennium. Then you're going to have a white throne judgment, destroy everything that should be destroyed, and everything's going to be wonderful. Now he's going to have his day. He doesn't have his day right now. Man has his day. And it's fortunate that man has him who will have his day, have as his advocate. Because he has him as his mediator, which is to get him in, and the intercessor, which is to keep him in. And as long as anybody needs keeping, which is until the day that he's glorified, you've got somebody up there representing you. So don't talk to me about blood off the mercy seat and haven't got this and haven't got that. No way, shape, and form. Because we do have him. See? And one day though he will no longer be that one. And then you watch the wrath really fall. When the 144,000 get sealed in, oh my, there's nothing there but just shockwave after shockwave till the whole thing is gone. It's just going to be a tremendous day. All right. Now, this is man's day, but he has promised his own day. Now, let's look at that over in Luke, the 4th chapter. I'm running this back again over because I'm trying to teach in such a way that you can become crystallized in your thinking, not to be crystallized in the idea, like you add one drop of sugar to a solution and the whole thing crystallizes and you're shot. You know, you kind of lose your elasticity. I'm talking about where you understand what is being preached concerning the hour in which we are in and what is going on. Because I'm sorry to say I've had too many phone calls where people, I'm sorry, they just don't know what I'm saying. Now, I know what I'm saying. And I hate to be a copycat like Brother Brown and say, well, he said, I know what I'm saying. Maybe you don't get what I'm saying, but I know what I'm saying. Just can't express it right. Well, I can't go that far, Brother Brown, because lots of things he knows I don't know. And if I did know, I'm sure that I would have some way to express them in a sense of my knowledge. And then I'd say, well, I know it, and this is the best I can tell you. We have different ways of doing things, like you have different ways of doing for me. All right, the 4th chapter, in 16th verse, he came to Nazareth, he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he appointed me, anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and he closed the book. Now, you'll notice that he had something to do which was vicarious. It had nothing to do with himself. Never said a thing about himself. There was nothing there to say about himself. It was what he was doing and would continue to do. But now let's go back to Isaiah 61 where that's taken from and watch it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to me. Sent me to bind up the broken heart, proclaim liberty to the captives, opening a prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he sat down. But he also has to proclaim and make evident the day of the vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. That's what I read in the Psalms. Why, we don't have several different Bibles just because it's repeated in different places and several different themes. It's one theme. And you notice that Jesus even changed the words from the book of Isaiah. Why? Because he was a prophet when he did it. And William Branham could come on the scene and he could take the word of God that you and I say, hold it, William Branham, you're not quoting it right. Absolutely, he's quoting it right. Trouble is we've got too many chicken brains, not enough eagle brains. Chicken brains pick a manure pile. Follow the cow to see if they can pick a little grain of wheat out of a plot. Eagles get up there and get the fresh food. They look down. They see the whole picture. Now, pardon my language, but I use that on purpose. If you don't like it, well, just whiff a rose or something. A little smelly, eh? I don't feel bad about me. I don't feel bad about me. So don't you feel bad about me. Chickens and eagles are two different things. In fact, eagles don't particularly care for chickens. Oh, they like them roasted or something like that. Maybe not nice, but I never said I was a nice person. I am a nice person when it comes to this. I won't hold anything back from you if I can get it across with a 4x4 or a language which is even nice. I said, Brother Bill, why don't you just use nice language? You wouldn't even get it if I used nice language. You wouldn't get it. You'd be still wondering what I'm saying. Now there's no reason to believe otherwise. Look here. We showed you just what he said here. From Luke. Going to Isaiah. And that great day is coming. And it's said many, many times in many ways in Scripture. And John saw it coming. And he puts into intimate detail what lies there. Because everybody's messed up on Daniel's 70th week. Everybody but us believe it's 7 solid years. It's not. There are those who claim to believe this message, like the brother down there in Clarksville, I think his church is. He followed Brother Branham. Every time Brother Branham went somewhere, he was right on his footsteps. Brother Branham taught the truth, and he taught his error. He was erring then, he's in error right now. Because he said if Brother Branham came back, he'd admit that I was right and he was wrong. How could that be? You ever hear such hogwash? What's he got for vindication? Fap, I cannot vindicate him 10-1 in my background. And I got no vindication if it's all bad. I was doing what I shouldn't have done. Well, let's come on. What about if one of you guys here was a tremendously beautiful artist? Well, if we combine the talents of both Marilyn and Brian, we'd get some awful good artwork. I know that because they're very good. And we throw in little old Kim Applegate, and she's, for her age, she's fantastic. Now, what if we got all these talents in here, and you were able to do beautiful artwork, and somebody signed you on a home to do some artwork, and you walked in the wrong door and put your lovely artwork on the wrong building? You're messed up, aren't you? Well, that's what I'm trying to show you here. you got to be in the groove here. You got to be in the position, in the place and all. The thing has to line up. It doesn't matter what talent and how wonderful a person has. It doesn't matter how great a ministry or anything else. It's got to line where God put it to line. So, all right. We get along here now. Now, look at here. The day of the Lord is coming. It's upon us as per the hour in which we live, which is judgment has struck and is beginning to will strike even more. Now, as I say, this fellow here that followed Brother Branham, he got things, he got a ministry, what have you, anything else. I had a ministry, what have you, anybody else has. But it took the prophet to know what he taught us concerning this, what he saw down the road, and his own place in it. And he identified himself as Revelation 10 and 7 in the presence of Revelation 10 and 1. And he identified Revelation 10 and 1 as Revelation 5 and 1, which was the one seated on the throne. And Revelation 1 and 12 is when he turned around to see the voice. And he said, that one that was in the flesh is here in spirit, and he proved it by the ministry. So therefore, once the ministry vindicated God to the prophet, it vindicated the prophet to the people, and it brought the people right to God in order to find out what God had, and God had a revelation. He had a message. Now that's where we're at. Okay, let's go to Acts, the third chapter now. So we can begin to see more of this. We're talking about the day of the Lord. The third chapter and 12. Now here's where the miracle was done through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That was in Peter, James, and John, and who else? As they went down to the gate beautiful, Peter and John, and this man was healed. And when Peter saw the people were wondering and trying to make something out of it, that they shouldn't have made out of it, he pointed them to what was supposed to be made out of it. That's what Brother Branham did, and they turned him down flat, like Israel did here. Now, you see, God did a great thing. Then the men were responsible to tell what it was all about. Amen. William Branham could stand before the people and say, I challenge you, bring me your worst case, and he'd guarantee healing, and the person was healed. Well, so what does that indicate? Tell us, prophet, tell us, man, what does that sign indicate? Indicate. What is the voice of the sign? Well, when the prophet told what the voice of the sign was, they said, drop dead. Because we got as much as you. In fact, we think we got more. Because you're an ordinary, uneducated hillbilly. Gee, I should have half the brains he had. And the smarts that go with it. Never mind even what the Holy Ghost gave me. You know, I guess it's just the way a person's appetite is. I went into this place in, 10 years ago now. 10 years, yeah, 13 years ago now in Sweden, Suna, yeah. It's very famous when you go through there for vacations. It's lovely resort country, but they got a cafeteria that every bus stops at because it's so good. I'd imagine some people went in there and they looked at it and they said, well, fat. They were used to hominy grits, which I've got nothing against. I just don't want any, at least right now. And I don't know what else you're used to, you know, maybe some sow belly that's been sort of done with beans and all. That's all right if you like them. I don't particularly like them. But they had this great big dish of what I thought just had to be cold, chilled crab meat. And I said, $2 American money, and I'd been on a diet. I am going to bust my diet wide open and bust me wide open. And you talk about going back, and I kept filling my plate until, you know, my stomach said, whoa. My tongue didn't, and my mouth didn't, and my throat didn't. Everything else put the brakes on. Now, something that I'm trying to tell you is this. You see, what I saw was good for me. I loved it. Whetted my appetite. Did a lot of things for me. Somebody else come along, meant nothing. Well, that's the way the prophet was. We had the table spread. We have the perfect revelation of the hour. And their people haven't got any time for it because their appetite doesn't run in God's gourmet restaurant. They couldn't stand the manna. I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't care if manna tasted like coal oil with a dash of turpentine. If I could get my hands on a barrel full of it. Oh, bless God. I can just feel everything rolling away now. Oh, not just my burdens. I can feel the aches and the pains dissolving. I can see the 20/20 vision both forward and hindsight coming. I can see my clothes not wearing out, so I wouldn't feel bad about that. Although some of my suits I just hated to see go down the drain. Because I knew I'd never get another just like it. And some shoes, I'll never get them again. So my goodness me, just think if I could get a hold of a barrel of manna that tasted like coal oil with a dash of turpentine and a half a pound of cayenne pepper thrown in just to make my ears ring, I still stick my head in. And I'd slop that up so fast. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. What I'm trying to tell you here is this word which we have is for the day of the Lord to get us out of here. Amen. The prophet ministry is what vindicated this was the word. Now, John looked down there and saw it. See? And he saw God on this earth. And he saw a prophet on this earth. And these men say, wow, you know. Well, we've had such a great time over here in the chicken yard. Now, I never did say I like picking, dropping wheat and stuff out of manure. I didn't tell you that. I said kerosene and a dash of turpentine and a pound of red pepper. But I never said one thing about the manure heap. I just want to make sure that's on tape, you see. Somebody might think, well, old Baal goes for everything. Well, Baal doesn't go for everything. Because, you see, Israel said, we loathe this manna. And I don't know one person who actually really enjoyed it. As the Scripture says, there's many things you don't enjoy now. But down the road, oh, the peaceable fruit of the Spirit. I wouldn't trade. Now, listen, God is my judge. I'm a carper and a complainer about many things. But I'm not a repiner. I don't ever intend to go back to nothing. And what I've gone through has done me good.
Amen.
Done me a lot of good. May tear me down physically. Well, praise God. Get out of here quicker. I just hope I don't drag out in little pieces. All right, anyway, we're looking at this over here in the book of Acts. And we saw this wonderful demonstration. And the people said, what is going on anyway? They couldn't figure it. And this man was supposed to tell them, and he told them. As I say, what voice spoke to a great man in the world today in Pentecost? When Brother Branham, that man who was full of devils, fell at Brother Branham's feet. He just, Brother Branham said, because you challenged the servant of the Most High God, I command you to fall at my feet. And they claimed that the guy wove like a serpent. He just like this and fell right across Brother Branham's feet. And they had to get two big coughs to pull him off Brother Branham's feet. That's when the fellow said, the voice of that, he said, that's Bible days. That's what you're supposed to do. You can do it. Where did Peter say, hey, bless God, let me tell you, folks, I got a hold of a 220 live wire here, and I'm just full of the fire of God, and let me tell you, I'll lay hands on you, and you get gifts, you go around the world, heal, and say, hallelujah, that's the way God does it for him, do you serve us, God? Now, pass plate, $50 here, $50 here. Well, what about it? Don't tell me, look, I was in Pentecost. And let me tell you another thing, you get a free Methodist, if he had this, he'd be rotten in Pentecostal. And you get a Southern Baptist, get this, he'd be rotten to the Free Methodist. Because people are people. They don't change since God changed them. Peter said, I'm going to tell you about it. He said, first of all, get this. It's nothing that I have got intrinsically that did anything of this.
Amen.
I don't have one ounce of it. I don't have any wholeness. He said, I don't have any power. So Peter said, I got no power. I got no holiness. But he said, what made this man walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, of Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his son Jesus. Now, he glorified him, whom you delivered up, and denied in the presence of Pilate. Now, listen, the one that he glorified had a former glory that he got back. Hear what I said? You weren't listening. I said, I'll pray it again. Now we get this in the book of John, which I'm not going to fool with it, or going to right now, because I'll save it later. But this one that he glorified in a human state was the one who was restored to the former glory which he had in his pre-existence. Now, like Father, like Son. If you didn't catch it, let's just think about it. Now it said, you denied the Holy One and the Just. Desire to murder be granted unto you. When they turned down the end time prophet, they turned down the presence of God. What are they desiring? Now don't tell me they're not desiring something. Because these people here desired God. And they changed him for a murderer. The Bible, Brother Branham correctly said, from the Word of God, you don't take the seal of the Spirit, you'll take the seal of the Antichrist. You don't take the mark of God, you'll take the mark of the Antichrist. You got your choice. Now he said, you killed the Prince of Life whom God raised up from the dead. Rubber witnesses. And his name through faith in his name has made this man strong, you will see and know. Then he goes on down here, he said, now brethren, I know that you're ignorant, you did it, as did your rulers also. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that God should suffer, Christ should suffer, he hath fulfilled. You say, well, not just a minute. What if at this end time people ignorantly turn down God? I got news for you. It's over. It's run out. Genesis 3:22 has run out. See? It's gone. There's no Hebrews. Six is in order. There is no more repentance. So the last group are stuck. You see, I don't think that's nice. Well, it doesn't really matter what you and I think. Let's just find out something over here. Matthew 23:32, fill up then the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some you'll kill and crucify. Some you'll scourge in synagogues and persecute city. That's what God said he'd do, and he did it. Now listen, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. From the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom he slew between the altar and the temple. Verily I say, all this come upon this generation, and it did in 70 A.D. 70 A.D. Now listen, Jesus said that at age 33 and a half. 33 and a half years later, it was gone. 1963, the seals opened. 33 and a half years. Brings you 1986. Knock off or add on a year or two, because I don't know dates. Now I'm just guessing, just making little remarks. Take the 3.5. We're right at the door, brother, sister, the day of the Lord. Now he says here, I know they were ignorant. But those things which God before showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he's fulfilled. But this time, he's not going to suffer. This time he gets his day. The hour of reckoning is here. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before proclaimed unto you. In other words, the one that you look for, that died, he's going to come back. But he can't do it, for the heavens will keep him there until times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now it tells you can't come down and set his foot upon earth. Not until the enemies are made the footstool. See? And when he does come, he's got a bride coming with him. She's going to reign and rule. For Moses truly said to the fathers, for prophets shall Lord your God, raise up in your brethren like unto me. Him you'll hear in all things, whatever you say to you. Now it doesn't say he's already said it all. Because at that point he hadn't said it all. Paul hadn't even brought the word to the Gentiles. And John followed Paul and wrote the book of Revelation. And Paul said in Hebrews 12, he's going to talk again. And he explained how he talked in the prophets. So he's got to come by way of a prophet again. And when he does, it says, our God, a consuming fire, sets up his kingdom. That's the time that everybody that doesn't listen is destroyed. How are you going to have a millennium then full of people that are standing here living outside of a glorified group? I'd like to know. Why, the days of the Gentiles are over. The 144,000 in. What's left? Nothing. Come on, anybody can add 2 and 2 make 4 for land's sake. We're not deaf, dumb, and stupid any longer. Get people still puzzled. Is it going to be this? It's in the scripture. The prophet told you. Here it is laid out in front of you. The Gentiles are finished. The Jews are finished. What's left? He's left with the bride. Man alive, I just can't see. Look, maybe I'm stupid. Just forgive me. But that's all right. I'm just going to stay stupid. I can't help it. My brain just can't go any other way than what I see here. It'll come to soul every pass that won't hear that prophet should be destroyed among the people. What prophet? That one that you killed. And now he's raised up. Who said he's not a prophet? See, that's where they missed out. They said, well, he's a prophet, then he's no longer a prophet. So they missed the book of Luke entirely. The days of the Son of Man appear when he's prophet again. Now, how's he going to be prophet? He can't come down in the flesh and be prophet. Because when he comes down, he's taking over. What's the prophet's sound when you take over? What's the prophet's sound? Somebody knocks at the door and you say, who is it? And you stick your finger, boing, with the 4x4. What's the prophet's sound? That's how he's coming in destruction. What's the prophet's sound? I don't understand people. Always too late. Always too late. Oh, he'll do this. Oh, no, he won't. He's done it. All right. Day of the Lord. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after. Now notice he mentions Samuel. Elijah's going to restore. He talks about Moses, talks about Samuel, talks about Jesus, that's deliverance. Now you're the children of the prophet. And the covenant which God made of their father, saying to Abraham, and in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. That was a prophecy, that's fulfilled. That's not to come, that's finished. The Jews think it's going to come, they're wrong. The only future fulfillment is in the form of the glorified. It's a continuing promise. Unto you first, God having raised up his son, sent him to bless you. Now he's talking about the one that died, was raised up and came to them, how? In the form of the Holy Spirit. And Brother Branham said, God's got to raise him again to the Gentiles, and he's done it. Who'd the pillar of fire come to? Paul. Jew. Now when God raised him up again, what's he going to do? He's going to send the Gentiles. Because there's got to be a people. There's got to be a resurrection. There's got to be a rapture. People just let their minds go blank. They don't want to pay any attention. But here it is. The same one that was here in the form of the flesh is here in the pillar of fire. Came down and a prophet was on earth. Now, he sent to bless the Gentiles, the same as Israel, wanted to turn Israel as a nation, they wouldn't come. Now he's down here turning the last of the Gentiles away from iniquity. Right. Raised up to this hour. Okay. So there we see. He's having his day. Now, John said here then in plain English, using my English of course, not drawing conclusion but just talking about it. John saw man's day ending and the day of the Lord coming into view. So then the book of Revelation is a book of prophecy exactly as it's claimed to be by John. It's a book of Revelation. It's a juncture because it shows one ending and another coming into view. And Brother Branham said it takes a prophet to turn a corner. He said it's a juncture period. So therefore there was a prophet on the scene before there could be this literal day of the Son of Man come into view and come into being. It is a prophetic declaration of the time that elapses as man's days end in judgment. And God's day comes in the millennium, as we see it in Revelation 19, 11 to chapter 21 to 6, which we won't go into because we read it many times. You should know it by now. I'm sure you do. All right. Let's go to Malachi and see what we're looking at, because here we have the keys. Okay. In Malachi 3 and 2, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. Now what's he doing? He's giving somebody a scrub down. Somebody's getting the bath. Kind of take the hide right off you almost. That'll absolutely purge you as you never knew you could be purged, and the purging is by fire. That's not the lake of fire. It's only one kind of fire. That's Holy Ghost fire, brothers. Let's face it. All right, and the washing of waters by the word. Now, and purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now, come on. What offering in righteousness are they going to offer? A lamb? Are they going to bring blood again? There's no more shedding of blood. It's all over. There's no more lambs to be offered. It's all over. It's gone. Antitype has washed out conclusively once and for all every type. Now, how are they going to offer unto God in righteousness? I don't care what they offer. It's not what they offer. It's how they offer. See, that's the thing. Go back to Genesis. Scripture says that Abel brought an offering of the sheep. And Cain also brought an offering of the earth. A first fruit offering. And God had respect to Abel's offering, but not to Cain's. Now why? Because he said, thou hast rightly offered, but thou hast not rightly divided. Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God. See, rightly dividing the word of truth. Workmen need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, the workman, which was as Cain, was ashamed before God. Killed his brother. Now look, let's go to the book of Revelation, the third chapter. And let's understand this. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and the white raiment you may be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Be manifested. Now, at the same time over here in 1 John, the first epistle, the second chapter and 28th verse, and now little children abide in him that when he shall appear, that's the appearing there, the Phanerol, the absolutely made visible, come into full view, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his presence, at his presence. The Son of Man revealed. Now, you see then, what was it? The offering in righteousness. We'll go back there to Malachi, the third chapter. An offering in righteousness isn't then the precisely of what they are doing, but the fact that it is scriptural in understanding and in application. In other words, as Brother Branham said, Abel had the revelation and Cain didn't. That's just what we're looking at. See? All right. We go to verse 18. Then shall you return and discern between the right righteousness and wickedness, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. Now, who served God? Abel did. Who didn't serve God? Cain didn't serve God. All right, listen. Whose deed was unrighteous? Cain's was unrighteous. Now, do you go to 1 John? I think, what is it, the 5th chapter? You get the picture there. Now, no, that's not it. It's the 3rd chapter. And this is the message during the beginning. We love one another. Not as Cain does with the wicked one that slew his brother. Wherefore slew him? Because his own deeds were evil or unrighteous, and his brothers were righteous. See? Now, it tells you that they'll be turned. And when they are turned, and only then, will there be an offering to God. In other words, worship to God will only be acceptable under certain conditions. Now, let's get this flat, brother, sister. You and I think we worship God here. Oh, come on. This is just a type to what we're going to get into. Wait, we're gathered around the throne. Wait, we're in that other land. I'm not saying this worship isn't real. Don't get me wrong there. I'm just telling you flat, in this form, we are liable to errors. And that's what's happened ever since the Garden of Eden. The misapplication of the word due to a wrong revelation. It was a wrong revelation that got this world off track. It's a right revelation going to put the world back on track.
Amen.
See? See, man could have just gone down the road for 6,000 years and got glorified. Got into sin. Now man's in sin 6,000 years. God's going to get him out. And the heart is going to be turned back. Now watch. He says here, they then shall you return and discern between righteousness and wickedness, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. Now over here it says, they'll offer unto God a righteous sacrifice or offering. Now we're going to do the same thing. Now, our sacrifice is from our mouths. Bible calls the calf of the lips, the fruit of lips. How can you offer back to God that which is off the word? God won't take it. Now, for behold, the day cometh that'll burn as an oven. All the proud, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. Tells you right there. In the day that I do this, I'm leaving neither root nor branch. Now he said, in that day of the turning of the hearts back is the same day that God comes forth as destroyer. Now you do what you want about it. But that's what it says. And that's where people get plumb off a track. They want to put Elijah way back to the Jews or someplace else. He doesn't belong there. Okay. Now, God says that this people are his jewels. He's going to spare them. Now let's go to Luke 17 and 24. And I'll skip some of these things here because we've gone in them before. For as lightning that lighteth out of one part of heaven shines on the other part, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. 17 and 30. Even thus it'll be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now watch what happens. In that day. Not a 24-hour period. In that time. Which is also called a season. And according to the book of Isaiah, it's a period of time. Now in that period of time, when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, he that shall be on the housetop, when he stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Now remember, when you're dealing with this, you're dealing with Exodus. And when you deal with Lot's wife, you're dealing with the murmuring of Israel. And Israel said, it were better to be in Egypt, at least there's good food there. I can't stand this manna. I'm so used to the onions and the garlic and the fried liver and all the good things you used to have down there. And when the river Nile overflowed, it was just beautiful to eat all those good things there. They were so pungent and so wonderful. Oh, this man is too dull. Oh, it's too dull, you people that believe this message. We want to go back and run around and jump and scream and talk in tongues and lay hands on the sick. And that's fine. Prophesy and do everything. Go ahead and do it. Be my guest, but don't do it around here. If you want to do it, we'll have a little room back there. And you just see what happens. I'll even good you. I'm not chicken. I'm eagle.
Good.
Don't worry about it. I was just going there with you. You see, because I know I've been in the realm of gifts. Something comes, it comes. Doesn't come, doesn't come. I'm going to force nothing. No. Nope. So you see, a guy like you, sure, guy just like me. Don't sell me short. I'm nervous as a cat in a hot brick because what I go through. But I can just suddenly die just like this and stand right still. Don't think I can't because I can. Sure. Yeah. Don't sell the things of God short, brother, sister. dangerous. Listen, she turned back. Yeah. Now, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. That word is suki, that's the soul. He that becomes a legalist and tries to work out some kind of a program to make it ain't going to make it. You're shot before you finish. So I sing that song, Brother Bill, we are climbing Jacob's ladder, ladder. Well, go ahead and try to climb it, because unless God lets down when you ain't going to climb it. Oh, these legalists, they got it all down pat. Yep. Oh, you got to pray so many hours and do this and do that. Even got a book at the back where you can write your testimony in. I should tell you some of the funny things I know, but you might laugh yourself to death, and I want you alive for a while. Oh, brother, sister. Don't know what Brother Branham came in the scene for. They haven't at least the foggiest idea. Don't know what this word's all about. Haven't got the foggiest idea. Just because I let them know flat, it's not character, not prayer, not this and not that. They say, well, Baal doesn't believe in that. So I make a test. I say, raise your hand. How many of you guys pray with your wife twice a day? Not nobody in the room raises their hands. I could go to all the preachers around about the country. Say they believe this message. Then say, I don't believe in prayer? Somebody's nuts and it sure ain't me. Got a bunch of liars out there. Brother Brown called him that. He said, if you believe this word, he said, you'd act it. The first thing a man does, he tell lies. Second thing he does, he gets an immoral sex. A man in lies, and that's absolute fabricated prevarications that he indulges in, and that's his nature. And a man that's out there sexually, you know they got no more Holy Ghost than nothing. There's no way. Because there comes a day that you're born again, you've stopped that stuff. You just get out of it. Bible tells you plan. Yeah, tells you. Listen, look, and I don't want to belabor that subject. I've gone into time after time. The first thing the Bible says without her, outside the New Jerusalem at the time, the seals are read, and the seals are brought to our attention. The 22nd chapter, it's just to give you an idea what it says, is not going to make it. Tells you plumb flat there. It said, blessed are they that wash their robes. See that fuller soap. Sure, they get the word, get the inside treatment. Enter the gates, for without her dogs, male prostitutes, homosexuals. And then people say, well, it really doesn't matter. Doesn't matter? You're gone. You say, well, what can I do? Well, I've dealt with homosexuals. A friend of mine down south was a nice guy, but dealt with a woman years ago. Got delivered. Paul says, such were some of you. That you got right here. Look at here. He that seeks to save his life shall lose it. But I'm not a moralist for the sake of morals. But I want to stay in the Word. Now I tell you, at that night there should be two in one bed. Now somebody put men in there. That's generically speaking. I wouldn't believe that for 1 minute, two men sleeping in the bed of males. Two in the bed speaking. One taking one lit. Two grinding together, said women. Why women? Well, because the women are supposed to grind. What makes you think a man can't grind? Two grinding, one taking one lit. Two in the field, one taking one left. And the answer said, where, Lord? And he said, where the carcass is, and Brother Branham identified that as the rapture. The message for the rapture, and the rapture. Now, it tells you then here categorically that the Lord has a specific day, a specific period of time. Let's go to John 6 and 39. This the Father's will has sent me. Though all that, let me see. I'm a little bit, I shouldn't go down there at this point too far. Well, it's all right. 6 and 39. This the Father's will has sent me, that of that which he has given me, I should lose nothing, should raise it up again at the last day. Now notice he says last day. All right, just a minute now. There's no more days left after the rapture. For the Gentiles, except destruction, all that's left is 3.5 years. So he tells you, at that time, the day of the Lord, which John saw was the last, there's going to be a resurrection. Okay? Let's go to Revelation. And let's see, chapter 11, verse 18. And the nations are angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And you give rewards to your servants, the prophets, and the saints. and them that fear your name small and great, and should destroy the earth. Now look what he's all got bundled in there. That's not a 24-hour period, that's a time. That's a time element in there. Let's go back to John 6. Number 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may ever have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Okay? 44. No man can come except the Father who sent me draw him. I'll raise him up at the last day. 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinks my blood of eternal life, raise him up at the last day. Now just a minute. That tells you resurrection. That's not rapture. He doesn't set foot on this earth without the bride. So what's he telling you? He's telling you what it says in the book of Corinthians. What Brother Branham said in Thessalonians. He comes down, sets himself in the church. It's the same spirit that was in Christ is talking now. And is going to raise the dead. As Brother Branham said, the voice has screamed out to Lazarus come forth. The same voice screamed upon Calvary and woke the sleeping virgins. I mean the sleeping bride. Old Testament. That same voice brought him out. All right, there you got it. Let's go to John 8 and 56. Now that's the day of the Lord we're talking about, brothers and sisters. Last day. Last day. Last period of time. 8 and 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it. What day was that? Before Sodom and Gomorrah. Before it was destroyed. He saw that day. Okay. John 12 is repeating. 47, 48. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. But he's not Savior now. He's coming in the full judge. At the time that he is prophet, there's still a proclamation. The same Savior is proclaiming the day of wrath, the day of the Lord. You've still got time to run. But pretty soon you won't have time to run. Because when that prophecy is expired, then the voice raises the dead. In the meantime, you got to shout. See? Okay. 48 verse. He that rejecteth me receiveth not my words, hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now listen, there's double condemnation because he's here repeating himself. Raised up to Israel, raised up to the Gentile, and says the same thing. He that doesn't hear will be destroyed. Now he tells you in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, what that's all about. Verse 25, see, you refuse not him that speaketh. Doesn't say did speak, but speaks now. For if they escape not and refuse him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn from him that is from heaven. Not speaketh, but is from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he promised, saying, once more I shake the earth, not the earth only, but heaven. What's going to do it? The voice. What starts the resurrection? Voice. Earthquake. See? Everything then is shaken down. It's over. What happens next? We receive a kingdom. How? Through the God, that's a consuming fire. Pillar of fire is here. Brother Brad said pillar of fire leads to the millennium. What's standing here to raise it in? The one in the pillar of fire. What one's that? The same one in human flesh. Almighty God in human flesh, because God incarnated himself. Made himself a body, then went into it. Okay. That's the same as Revelation now. Not the same as, but he says, but the same thing in Revelation 20:18-19 says, don't add or take a word. Let's go back to Acts, the 7th chapter. And verse 20. All right. In that time Moses was born, was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. All right? At that time. Now, what time is that? The word is season. It doesn't say at that time one day. It's a season. That hour. Signifying that things were coming to pass. Now, let's go to 11. Revelation again. Pardon me, 18th verse, which I just read. You get the same thing over again. The nations are angry. Thy wrath has come. The time of the dead, the season for it. It's here. It's what John saw. Looking down there. The whole thing coming not to an impasse, but to a pass. Notice what it says in Revelation 22. And in chapter 10. I mean verse 10. Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. The season. See? Tells you. The season for what? The season when the countdown comes, it goes plumb past the millennium to the lake of fire to New Jerusalem. That's what John saw. Now we're in that very hour. People don't understand that. I don't know. I can't figure it. Now you can't stop there. See? Just say, look at that great day's coming around. You got to remember we've already taken up with here. In Luke 17, 28 and 29. It tells you right there that that's based on Genesis 18, the visitation of Elohim to this earth. See? That's Malachi. When the wrath of God falls, when He's here to bring about the day of destruction, He's here to give us eternal life and immortality. Now, that takes us to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. And in verse 7, and to you their trouble rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Then in the second chapter, verse 1, Paul says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him. Now that, Brother Branham said, and that's categorically, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 16, the Lord Himself descend Him with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. God descending. In the form of the Holy Spirit, which He is, in order to bring about what we're looking at. The Lord descending here with those seven mighty messengers. That's right. Brother Branham saw it. Bore witness to it. Opened the seals. Brought us into the message. See? Now, if you want to do yourself some reading, which I'm not going to do for you, maybe some other time, I want you to read The Breach, page 106, and go to about 108 or 109, somewhere there. You hear what I'm going in. Now, we're looking then at the day of the Lord, wherein we see judgment, and we see a final measure of grace, which is poured out to get a people ready, to put in a rapture, to raise the dead, and take us away, and we see with it the combination of destruction. Alright, that is then prophet, judge, and prophet, or prophet and judge, and mercy and judgment. Now, we've already mentioned this morning, and we mentioned in time past, so I can just clear this up in a hurry for you. Elohim coming down at the time of Sodom, where there's a repeat, brought mercy and it brought judgment. You cannot bypass it. Malachi, the 4th chapter, which we will look at because that's Brother Branham's great chapter. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Now it tells you frankly, all the proud, all the wicked, are going to be stubble. Now listen, what is stubble? It's the same as chaff. When the wheat is gathered in the garner, the chaff and the stubble is burned. So you know right now that this fire cannot come until the bride is out of the way. Now how then can the Gentiles and the fundamentalists say that Elijah goes to the Jews unless they want everybody to burn? Now it tells you that he's going to burn. Now remember, that is the book of Matthew. What is that, the 3rd chapter? Have to be the 3rd chapter. Now, John says, I in verse 11, I baptize you with water to repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand. Now once the Holy Ghost is done with, watch. Whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purge his floor, gather the wheat in the garner, and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There it tells you. Harvest is over. The world cannot even burn till the 144,000 are in. Now watch, judgment striking the earth. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with immortality. And you will go forth as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked. How? There'll be ashes under the sole of your feet. The minute we hit the earth, they'll be already turned into ashes, evidently. Now, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the heart of the children back to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. All right? The turning of the hearts delay the curse until it's finalized in this last hour. All right, now listen. Abraham said at the hour that Elohim came upon earth here, said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, he was the prophet, he was judge. Now, he was prophet turned judge, then he went down to Sodom as judge turned king and destroyed. Because a judge does not execute his own decree, it takes the force of the law and the land. And remember, Elohim is dunamis. He is power himself. So it is now. So listen, the sixth seal has already broken. It broke in March of 1965, 2 years after March of 1963. 2 years later. We've had 18 years since the sixth seal broke, and 20 years since the revelation of the seals. Or we have had Revelation 10 and 1 for 18 solid years, a little bit more. Since 1965, there's been silence. Yeah. Silence was almost a half an hour, which is roughly 20 years, 10 months, which God does everything at 7 and 3, so 21 years, roughly. Give or take. So you don't have to go set 21 exactly. So, we've had 20 years since the seventh seal opened, which was Revelation 10, 1 to 7. 21 years takes us to 1984, as from 63. 1986, as from 65. Who knows? It's just later than you think. See, what I'm trying to get you to understand, brother, sister, you're not looking down the corridor of time anymore looking for the day of the Lord. You're in it.
Amen. Praise God.
You're into it.
There's
nothing you can do about it because he said he is the Son of Man. That's why he's judge. Now, we could take scripture this morning. Got a concordance out of using concordance because my mind fails me. I can't tell you everything the Bible is. But the Word of God specifically states that God executes his own commandments. He is the executor. He stands behind his word to perform it. Now, there is no way that this world is going to escape judgment. And there is no way the bride is going to be in judgment. Because God has set the decree and put his seal to it. There will not be one bride that's going to be destroyed. There will not be one hair of the head fall. God's going to take care of her. At the same time, let's understand this is in that hour of the day of the husband. The day of the great judge that Brother Branham saw. Through the eyes of the prophet John, with the Holy Spirit telling him what it was. Now, we're right here at this end time, brother, sister, and there's nothing anybody's going to change it. The decree has been set. When Brother Branham preached that sermon on the rapture, never forget, he said three times, thus it has been spoken, thus it will be done. So we're at the very end time. You say, well, it could go on a few years. Sure it could. Make no mistake about it. I stand with the prophet on that, why he told us during the seal. Why he said it could be 10 years, 25, 100, or yet maybe tomorrow morning. Now, I figured that couldn't happen tomorrow morning. But one of these mornings, around 9 o'clock, there's a bride going to get out of America. In the meantime, I'm not worried whether it's 9 o'clock or any other o'clock. There's just one concern I've got, and that's what Paul said, make your calling and election sure. I don't know any other way I can do it except believe his word. I don't know any other way I can do it. Because I never asked to get in this world. I don't ask to get taken out of this world. Really, I can't take myself in or out. There's no way I can put myself in the plan of God. But if I'm in that plan of God, what befalls me, which is under grace and mercy, that judgment, the seat is still open, which at this hour is actually also a judgment seat.
See?
Because the judge of all the earth declaring, and the judge of all the earth, through the prophet said, 1965 of March, the earthquake on the west coast opened the sixth seal. Now the sixth seal contains 3.5 years of great tribulation. The saints better be getting out of here pretty soon, brother, sister. See? You say, does that mean the fourth seal is completely gone? Nope. Nope. See? Some seals overlap. And the seventh seal is revelatory, and that's his coming. Seventh seal, Revelation 10, 1 to 7. I don't care what anybody tells you. They're going to quote you and say, well, Brother Brand said it wasn't open. They misunderstand what he's saying. They're going to tell you this. They're going to tell you that. You go back to what he said. When it came to the definitive, the seventh seal is Revelation 10, 1 to 7. And William Branham stood here when that one came down with those mighty messengers. Bringing judgment. The judge. Tell me what else should he bring? And avenging for a bride. Tell me what else should she get but the inheritance with her husband, because it's his day that's on the scene. See? I want to encourage you, brother, sister, don't you ever let yourself slack in this word. Now, don't get ideas and run with them, because that's the thing some people do. And they just love to come and have me help them propagate it. Well, you know, just to stop and think a little bit, maybe I've got an ounce of pride, too. Old Levi may have something in here, a little bit of pride. I've got my soapbox. You get yours. You follow me? Oh, yeah. But don't sell anything short. That day is here. And whether you or I or anybody else has a revelation, the prophet has already had one. And he said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, I won't stand in her way. See? Stay with this word right down the line, because you haven't got much time left. Look, I know time seems to drag in your hands. Look, come on. I understand that. But it's accelerated. Who would have believed that we're past the middle of June, which June is the sixth month of 1983? Tell me, where is it gone? We will have been here in August a year. Tell me where it's gone. Now you look back and maybe there was a bit of a drag. But I want to tell you what. The closer you get down the road, the faster that time's going. That's that exponential curve in there. And it's accelerated. So there it is, brother, sister. You're nearer than when you first believed. You're a whole lot closer. And whether anybody wants to believe it or not, that one is here. And he proved he was the judge by discerning the thoughts and intents of men's hearts. He proved who he was. Showed it right down the line. Now, if you're hooked up to him this morning, in other words, you got your union with him through the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which is a faith proposition, which you know it doesn't come by sensations and doesn't come by this, come by that. It's absolutely something you keep moving up into all the time, because like a little child born, now you're born again. You've been moving up. The church has been moving up. And we're moving right up in this hour when, let's face it, I don't know how it'll break upon us. I don't know. Because, look, I'm human like you are. And even the prophet didn't tell us everything, because what could he tell us other than just a certain amount, because we wouldn't be able to receive it anyway. But how do you begin to explain? And how will it be when that glory begins to break instantaneously of a people getting ready to go away? How will you feel when those dead are no longer, there's nobody else to come in?